Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us today.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Henry, I notice you have some red glasses. These are quite...
Should I put them on for the camera?
Yeah, let's see them, Henry.
Well, but you know, there's a story, right?
I want to hear that story.
Sally Jesse Raphael glasses, right?
All right.
How's that?
Fabulous. Fabulous, Henry.
I have a thing about reading glasses.
Yeah.
Because I had the LASIK surgery a long time ago, and so it screws up your close vision a little bit for the long vision. So anyway, I need them in bad lighting when I read. But who wants to buy expensive glasses? So I get them at Rite Aid and Walgreens and airports. And so, you know, when they're like $9, you kind of get to play around and do funny things. So I have some red ones.
That is very good.
But I'm open to purple or anything you got for me.
Okay, I've got an eye example about life and truth. I had LASIK done. And I had what they call monovision, where they adjusted one for short sightedness and one for long-sightedness. So one eye reads and the other eye looks off in the distance. And when I look at you, I'm not going like this, you know, because...
You look cross.
No. Within 6 weeks, my brain was able to completely ignore all the information coming in from the eye that I wasn't using. That's what happens. So my thing is,
that's great.
If in 6 weeks your brain can start ignoring all of the stuff that comes through in one eyeball, imagine what your brain is ignoring that you don't want to deal with back there in the back after 6 years or even 60 years. Good analogy?
Good analogy. And it also shows the capacity of the brain for something the neuroscience people call neuroplasticity, which is the capacity of the brain to grow new pathways, to adapt and change behaviors and all this sort of stuff. And when you think about it, that we know now, this is really depressing, about 95% of your thoughts in any given day are the same thoughts you had yesterday. 95%.
We're just hamsters on a wheel?
We are hamsters on a wheel until you go into an observing capacity of that and begin to think new thoughts and change thinking patterns and change attachment patterns and change things. And when you do that, actual new hardwiring takes place. Like when you do a download of an update on your computer, it can do things it couldn't do yesterday. Well, if
same
you don't,
hardware.
You're going to be doing the same thing tomorrow.
So you have to be intentional.
You have to be intentional
about it versus saying, well, I'm just waiting to see what God does.
Exactly. And the intentional root word there, attention, what you begin to really focus on, the Bible's suprastructure of this would say what you love.
Right.
And see, when you invest your heart, mind, soul, and passion into something, that is attentional and, you know, intentional, and you change.
Yep.
But not without it.
I got a new thought for you.
A new thought.
I would love to be a hamster on a wheel. But I see myself more as a sloth on a wheel. Just kind of hanging
on. You don't even care that it goes round?
Well, I care.
He cares. He just doesn't want to pedal.
I'm with Steve. On one of those things, and it goes around. I hang there, and I lay down on the bottom.
Sloths are great, aren't they?
I am a sloth on a wheel. All right. We'll come back with more slothfulness right after this on New Life Live. Please stay tuned. We're glad you're with us today.
my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. And I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back right here on New Life Live. Let's talk with Susan from San Francisco, California. Thank you, Susan, for joining us, and thank all of you who are either listening or watching. Susan, welcome to New Life.
Well, thank you. I feel it a privilege to be able to talk to you guys because I do study your books, and I have a lot of hurts and hang-ups, and I think my question is I want to know if I should continue to want reconciliation in a marriage that ended in a divorce. It was not my choice. The divorce was not my choice. It was not biblical in any way.
How long ago was that?
It was November of 08 it ended. 09.
Okay.
I was married in 08 for 6 months.
Oh.
My husband was and still is a pastor.
Is he interested in getting things back? Is he interested in getting things back together?
He says he is. I don't see any growth in him.
Why did the marriage end?
Yeah, it was so short.
You got me.
You mean he just said, "I'm done"?
Yep. I don't know whether he was ready for marriage. He's an older pastor. Where you were both widowed, or both of us lost our mate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now hold on a second, Susan. So it just seems to me that when he would say, okay, maybe we could get things back together, wouldn't like the first thing you'd say is, well, why did we divorce to begin with?
I keep asking that.
It seems like to me that would be a really, really helpful thing.
You think?
To know why did we divorce? Was he having an affair? Was he intellectually over your head? What's the deal here? What was going on?
Well, there was a lot of red flags before the marriage. I should have never went into the marriage. He was contacting one of his lady friends from relationship before he found me. He was contacting her email and on the phone constantly. He wrote an email that we were going into marriage, and I should have never went into the marriage like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it continued on into the marriage, and I kept saying, you know, I think you married the wrong lady. But we were married, and we did a lot of counseling. But the counselors kept saying, I've never seen anything like this. And
like what?
The situation where, you know, you're married for 6 to 8 months, and all of a sudden I was given annulment papers because as a pastor, he did not want to be a divorced pastor.
Okay. So here's the deal. He married you. And
that's
like
correct.
Like many, many people do.
That's correct.
He thought he married the wrong person.
I think that's what happened.
Okay. So we do have some information that leads us to believe that he divorced you or annulled you because he thought she would be better for him. And whoa, after it was over, it turns out she wasn't so great either.
That's correct.
Right. Okay, so now I would be saying to him, well, if you think this is going that direction, let's get into the premarital counseling that we didn't do before. Mm. And then when he says, I'm not willing to do that, then I think you've got your answer as to how interested he is in getting back with you.
Okay, that's a good, it's a long distance relationship. It's like 5 to 6 hours of travel in between him mm-hmm. and me.
Why is that?
Yeah,
did you live together when you were married?
We were in, oh, it's just such a crazy, crazy story. Mm. We were at his house like 3 days a week, 4 days a week, my house the opposite. Mm-hmm. Back and forth, trying to hold a church together, trying to hold a marriage together. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was just craziness, absolute yeah. craziness.
Well, those crazy things can actually work out when two people are committed to each other. But it doesn't sound like he was ever committed. And I just, you know, Henry, you talk about wishing versus having true mm-hmm. hope. And I just wonder if, I mean, if he's not willing to do anything to bring you two back together, is it really true that he's interested in getting back together?
Well, and
that's
what Susan,
I asked myself.
Susan, and you made a couple comments about, you know, I should have seen the signs. I should have recognized it. So now you have a chance to do what you didn't do the first time. Look at all the signs, and don't just wish something into being, but really do the work. You know, look at why were you willing to overlook those things. And then,
why? Because I didn't want to disgrace him as a pastor.
Oh,
and
really?
The last minute saying, hey, this
How
marriage
noble of
not,
you.
We aren't getting married because you're being unfaithful. I didn't want to disgrace him. I guess that's called codependence.
Enabling.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's a good impulse. You know, if you go to the story of Joseph and Mary, when there's a really interesting little verse there where when he found out that Mary was pregnant, it says, Joseph, being a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her.
Mm-hmm.
And he did try to protect her reputation mm-hmm. yeah. and all of that. But he wasn't going to go through, you know, with the marriage. But so it's a good impulse to not try to destroy people, but it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, keep going.
It speaks
going.
To how you do
right.
something
right.
versus
it's how you
what
do. There you
you're
go.
Doing. Yeah. So you sacrificed yourself instead of him, as if
That's
those were the
correct.
Only two choices.
That's correct.
Okay. So I think we've given you a path that would help you understand whether or not this is hoping or wishing, or as in Henry's book, whether or not this is a place where you say this is a necessary ending of this so that I'm not wasting more of my life wishing for something that will never be.
That's correct.
Okay.
I saw the simulcast on necessary endings, and it really spoke to me.
Okay.
It really, really did speak to me. I guess I refer to him as an ex-husband. We keep talking. The feelings are there, but nothing's ever done on his end. Mm. And so it kind of tells me that his feelings aren't.
Well,
or he likes the
feelings or whatever.
He likes the idea of something, but then when he has it, it's not what he thought.
Yeah, one of the things you might do, if you look in the book Necessary Endings, there's a path there, what Steve was talking about, you know, the difference between wishing and hoping. And one of the things that I do talk about in that book a lot is that unnecessary endings are something that you want to avoid. A lot of people will end something when it actually can be worked out. Mm-hmm. But to work it out, certain ingredients have to be present. And broadly speaking, what's got to happen is there's got to be some sort of an external structure that provides a path of discipline for him to engage in a process of change that's obviously not within himself to do by himself. So good counseling and a coach and a mentor and a small group and some new principles and some modeling and a verifiable way of knowing that he's doing all this and a number of things I list there will help you answer the question, is this guy going to change or not? Now, obviously, we don't have a crystal ball, but in my experience, if you look at that list there, it will really, really kind of give you a pretty good bet on what you can expect from the future.
Okay.
Positive or negative.
All right. I'm glad you called us, and we'll get that book to you. When is the actual pub date of the book?
It came out in January.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. I saw that.
You've seen it.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Because you didn't like the cover. Remember?
No, that's right. Yeah, I saw
it. It's a great title. Not so sure about the cover. So no. Maybe okay. Our listeners would tell us if they like the cover or not.
Okay. Let's see who we could talk with now. Let's talk with, how about Talisha? Talisha from Phoenix, Arizona. KPXQ is the station. Hello, Talisha. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
How could we help?
My question is, how can I facilitate getting my daughter into an extensive counseling program?
Okay.
How old's your daughter?
My daughter is 22.
Ooh, it's harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. The leverage I might have is she is currently married, and I do have a very good relationship with her husband.
Oh. But what's the problem?
Why
needs counseling
for? Why does she need
for?
This?
She has been, in my opinion and from my research, I believe she was sex trafficked.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Really?
Mm.
The history is quite extensive. Mm-hmm. That molested twice as a child by two separate people. Then gang raped and branded.
Oh,
good wow. Lord.
Oh, that's
and
awful.
So what's happening in the marriage now?
Well, I believe she's probably had a couple of abortions. I believe we still are dealing with drug issues from, one of the things the pimps do is get them hooked to drugs. And I think maybe even before that she had started to use drugs to cover up the pain from molestation.
How did she and her husband get together?
They met when she was traveling to school. He was in college, and she was in an alternative college program to try to get her through high school. Mm-hmm. And that was after the massive trauma that she suffered. We put her in a 45-day program, then sent her on to another program, and she ran from that program. And when she came back, that was the school that we put her in, and that is where they met. And they do have, in many ways, a beautiful relationship.
And he's a good guy?
As far as I can tell, every ounce of my being wants to believe that he is.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What's going on? Your original way of posing it was, how can you get her in? Is she resisting, or is she asking, or is it nowhere, or is it somewhere? What's going on?
Yeah, do you talk to her about all this?
You know, I try, and the reason I'm so aware do I talk to her about all of it? She has said she believes that she's thinking about getting into counseling, but the steps never come.
You right, know, but what's driving the current awareness for you to say, I think she needs to get into counseling? Is it just that you know what history does to somebody like this, or is something going on that you're afraid of now?
It's probably threefold. Past history, awareness, because I am helping to start a home for girls, and also because I see self-destructive behavior. She totaled her car in December. When we were asked to go pick items up out of the car, what she said was in there was different than what was in there.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, she said she had the car emergency kit. That's all that needed to be taken out of there. You know, we found she had quit smoking. We found lots and lots of cigarette packages. We found men's clothing. We found computer parts. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Let's see, what else? Once I started posting things on what I was being educated on girls that have been trafficked, on my Facebook, she was at work washing a wine glass, and the wine glass slipped and cut her from the crease by your thumb, skipped the vein area, and then jumped up above and cut there. So there's two self, in my opinion, self-destructive behaviors there.
Okay.
I could be wrong on
Talisha?
That. You know, here's the
okay.
thing.
Talisha, let me answer your question for you. The best thing you could do is to help them get to the marriage New Life Weekend. That's not a commitment to 8 months of counseling or anything, but it's an experience that could get them on the same page, headed the same direction. I don't know of anything that we could tell you to do that would give more hope for healing for both of them and keeping the marriage together than that. If I knew of something else, I'd tell you. But that's coming up next month, and if there's any way you could get them to go, pay for them to go, arrange for them to be there, it is the best move that I could recommend. It has changed many, many people's lives, and our whole weekend is focused on marriage and issues like this. So I want to give you some more information about that, and I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice, hoping that that could help with her healing.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right. Hey, we have a couple of comments about that last caller and and the husband. You want to just make move on?
But not only the husband. We didn't get to totally say all that we were thinking about here, but I believe you always build – the first thing you do is you build from the soil of the relationship. And if she does have a good connection with her daughter where they just talk about life and this, that, and the other, where you can just say, you know what, you've been through a lot and you've got a great future ahead of you if you know – you can continue down a certain path. So let me help you get with a good coach, a mentor, a counselor that can help you to do that. But then, Jill, you...
Right, to get the daughter on board first to see if she can do that.
And if that doesn't happen, she said she had a good relationship with the husband.
Yeah, I think she's got to go to the husband. I mean, they're married, so mom can't really do a whole lot without him. And so to talk with him and to see if he would be on board with her getting some help, and does he see the need for that? And, you know, for mom to share what she's discovered.
All right.
And my hunch is, I mean, the way the mom sounded, you know, that would be the kind of mom that you would join, right?
She wants to help. Although, you know, there is the question of, well, how did this happen and where was mom when this was happening?
Right.
And so there may need to be some repair work done there between mom and daughter.
And also just the, gosh, with what she's been through. Mm-hmm. You know, there's what an awful, well, awful.
And even if daughter isn't ready to say, you know, sweetheart, whenever you are ready, I'm going to be here to help because right. these are the things I'm seeing, you know. So as you continue down this path at any point.
Yep.
You know, so kind of predicting the future so that when it does happen, the daughters go, oh, this is what mom was predicting.
Okay.
Sometimes that helps to wake people up.
Hey, in our near future, we are going to Israel. And I want to show you a video of me down by the Sea of Galilee. And hope that you, it is not too late to join us in June with Stephen Curtis Chapman, Dr. John Townsend, Milan Yurkovich, the New Life family. Sherry Denham is going. And we've got two singles coordinators going. It is time to sign up. But here I am by the Sea of Galilee when we were there.
The sun is just about to come up over the hills of Jordan across the Sea of Galilee. I'm here down on the shore. This maybe is a spot where Jesus cooked breakfast for his disciples. I have this big regret. It's my last day here. I wish I had come earlier in my life. You really do have to see it to believe it and experience it to feel it. If you haven't been here, I want you to come and join us. June 2011. You'll never be the same again. And of course, if you've been here, I know you'll want to come back. There's a number on the screen. Please call it. And I don't think you'll ever be the same again once you come. You'll never read the Bible the same. It'll be a great experience with your New Life family. Call us now.
All right, June 6th through 16th. I hope you'll join us. You can find out all the information at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. All right, let's go to Elise from Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi there.
Hi, guess what?
What?
I have a question.
Well, I'm glad you do. Well, how could we help you?
All right, I'm going to get straight to it. How do you know when it's time to move on from your current congregation or place of worship?
Okay. Well, that's too theoretical. You got to tell us what color the choir robes are.
Why would you even want to move from that church?
Okay, bottom line, it's one of those places I've been my whole entire life.
How old are you?
31.
31. So you've been there since you were in the nursery.
Exactly, in the womb. And I've seen four pastors there, three of which I've, you know, been able to have, dealings with as far as being able to talk and walk and things of that nature. But it seems like the last maybe 10 years, I've seen like a slump and decline in growth.
In you?
And, well, yeah, and the congregation as a whole.
Well, sometimes, it's more... maybe about how it fits you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are churches that aren't necessarily growing in numbers, but have vibrant spirituality mm-hmm. and vibrant people walking with God, and they could still be a good place.
I feel like that there is just full of a bunch of people that don't do what they used to do anymore. Mm. Not necessarily people that are growing spiritually. And what kind of led up to this is I went to college for a few years, and then while there, was able to experience some other type of places and leaders,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't really respect the leadership there any longer. I guess you can say that.
Okay. So maybe you're feeling like you've outgrown the church?
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's time to find a church for your adult years?
Right. And there's no one really there in my age group. I can probably count on two hands. Maybe six or seven of us that are there.
Yeah.
Now, is this a case of not liking the church experience or not liking the behind-the-scenes stuff in the church?
B. Most of the behind-the-scenes yeah. and the leadership.
Well, it is quite shocking when you discover when you discover how they make the sausage. It's not pretty.
But what's happening that causes you to lose respect? Because there's some things that are big things.
Just basically decision making.
Like what?
The leader is not a strong decision maker. It's almost like if I say, okay, is the sky blue or gray today? You have to go back and consult with your pals to figure out, you know, just simple stuff like that. You can't give me a yes or no. You can't give me a yay or nay.
Yeah, but how does that affect you? We'll be back because we got to go to a break.
Yeah, hold on. More right after this for New Life Live.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Elise about changing churches. And she's gone to this church for a long time, and she says she doesn't like the way they make decisions. Elise?
Yes?
In your heart of heart, in your soul of soul, in your mind of mind, however that would go, is there any thing else other than decision making process that causes you to say, I can't go here anymore?
Yep, there's a lot of people I just particularly do not care for.
And you don't care for them, why?
Just because of their attitude.
Were they mean to you? Were they mean to you?
Yeah, yeah.
What happened that they got that they were mean to you?
I'm sorry?
What happened that caused them to be mean to you?
It's just like a lot of people that are in leadership and then they I don't know, let their real true self come out as far as...
What did they do?
Having a disagreement.
What did they do?
Saying nasty things and calling me... I'm tired of being called the devil and things of that nature.
The devil?
The devil? What?
Okay, so you
seriously? You're in a church where they're calling you the
and
devil?
And they've known you your whole life?
Exactly. So you see, I mean...
Now, why? Okay, now...
So they're narrow-minded?
What would you have done that would cause anybody to say, now that is something the devil would do?
Well, I have a...
Give us a good concrete example.
I've got a strong personality.
Okay.
If it's wrong, it's wrong. I used to be in leadership in the music department, and certain people would come to rehearsal and or not come to rehearsal and then expect to be in the front on Sunday morning.
And so that, huh? Yeah. So yeah, you said you can't sing on Sunday morning if you don't come to practice.
Exactly.
And that's what they called you the devil for?
Yeah, there's nothing, it's nothing but the devil, you know. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
Okay. Well, I probably wouldn't want to go to a place where I was called the devil. So
for having boundaries.
I don't care how they reach that conclusion, what their decision making process is. I just probably wouldn't want to go to where I'm called the devil.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just one of many.
Give us one more. I mean, if you're doing, you know, the Letterman top 10 list, getting called the devil's got to be somewhat. Just give us one more example.
We're intrigued.
Well, I have a ex that is in leadership there,
Oh, that would be another reason.
See,
not.
I thought there was more to this story.
Okay,
I told you.
So we're getting beyond decision making to being called the devil, and now we have an X in leadership.
But see, the X is, that's the icing on the cake, truthfully.
What's the cake?
The cake is just the all the years of mismanagement and, you know, just stagnancy that I've seen there.
So,
well, that's too theoretical.
How's that X?
If you don't like, I'm not.
How are they going? How's that going with the X? What do you guys say to each other when you see each other?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Is this ex-husband or ex-boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, he is dating someone else there as well. So.
Is this an ex-husband or ex-boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
Hey, you have my permission to go to a different church based on the fact that you don't want to go there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like really, if you don't want to go to a church because you don't like decision-making, they call you the devil, your ex-boyfriend there, you were on leadership, you didn't think they made...
It's stagnant. There's only three people there in your age group.
Well, wait, why are you calling us to ask this? It sounds like you've just laid out all these reasons why you don't want to go there.
Well, because it's like the congregants, once they get word of someone else that wants to go to another church, because we've had several people leave over the last years over different things, and the leadership's response to that is, well, you know, basically one monkey doesn't stop the show. And
well, that's true.
People say, well,
I've always said that.
Yeah, I believe that.
And one people monkey say, well, there's problems everywhere. You're walking out of one place and you're going to another place.
Okay,
true.
So thank you for your opinion. Wait, give me a problem.
A problem.
What's the problem? Yeah, so you're going to leave, and some people are going to
so they're going
to
be mad
like
at
that,
you.
And they're going to be mad. So what's the problem?
And they're going
to
make you
hard
bad.
To break the ties, and I haven't been attending regularly anyway. And then I'm just tired of people trying to, you know, well, we miss you, and you need to come back and do something.
Lisa, I'm going to send you Henry's book, Necessary Endings, because I think you need to make one.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm already involved in other, you know, worship centers and things of that nature.
If you were calling to have our blessing on leaving,
I'll
give you my blessing.
Well, you're wrestling with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to hear yourself say it out loud and get some feedback on it, because it's hard to make those emotional.
I'm going Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter.
Mm-hmm. So, you're gradually leaving and investing elsewhere.
Yeah.
And this is your childhood church.
You know, go to a church where you can worship God without a lot of distraction, where you can be refueled and revived in your spiritual life, where you can connect with people so that when you leave that church, you're out there in the world doing great things for the Lord. And that's... You know, church should be the launching pad of your spiritual life. And so you've been through some things. Maybe it'll be easier to do all of that in another place. Before I go to Elizabeth, I want to play a voicemail from a pastor. His name is Terry, and I want to play that right now. Well, actually, his name isn't Terry, but I'm going to ask Terry, our newly married radio engineer, to play that. Terry?
This is Pastor Roger Hatfield from Walnut Grove, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I just wanted you to know that we completed our Healing is a Choice series just last evening in our Living in Victory 12-Step Recovery group. It was a wonderful series. It took us 4 months. We were not in a hurry, and there were salvations, there were recoveries, there were spiritual healings. People got right with God. I believe that some marriages were saved. It was just a wondrous, wondrous series. I thank you for recommending that book and workbook and video. We used it, and God was all over it, and I wanted to share that good news with you. So I just want you to know that it's greatly appreciated, and angels danced in heaven, and God got glory. So thank you for the Healing is a Choice materials. It was a great tool. May you be blessed.
Well, thank you. You know, we have over 500 groups out there doing Healing is a Choice, Boundaries, Life Recovery. If you're interested, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Ryan, and he will help you get the materials you need for your groups. All right, let's go to Elizabeth from Philadelphia. WORD is the station. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Steve.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I'll start with my question. My question is, should I tell my husband, whom I'm separated from, that I had an affair?
Why are you separated? What happened?
About 8 or 9 years ago, I just left because I felt that I just had fallen out of love. And it's sort of a long history, just that we moved far away from friends and family for work reasons, and I was a stay-at-home mom who, you know, was devoted to family, and he was working his way up the professional ladder. So I feel like his work, he was married to work, and, you know, I just sort of got lost and felt trapped in the shuffle. And I got very depressed, and maybe some of it was postpartum depression. I don't know.
Okay, so you want to know if you should tell him about an you haven't been with him for how many years?
We're not even legally separated. I just moved out and
8 years ago.
Yeah, that long ago.
Yeah,
but you have not been together for 8 years.
No, I mean we've actually. You know, for the kids' sake, we've spent holidays together, and, you know, we live close by, so when he goes on trips, I...
What happens in this separation? You, I mean, apparently you guys you've sort of been divorced without the paperwork for 8 years, but how are you talking about it? When you sit down and you say, this is what we're doing, what does that conversation sound like?
Well, we don't, because I tried to avoid it, because he says he was blindsided that I left, and he doesn't understand why.
Yeah, but it's been 8 years, and so for somebody to say, you know, I don't understand why, the next natural thing would be to sit down and say, well, let's sit down, I'll tell you why, right?
Right, and he, I just said, I just think we've come apart, and for me,
I'm going to interrupt again. Initially, and understand all that, but for 8 years, you guys have been talking about this or changing the structure.
Well, you're
or
married.
Having a strategy.
You're just living parallel lives, like you were inside the home. Now it's outside of the home.
Right.
Right. So what I'm asking is, I mean, there's a huge elephant in the room. And there's got to be some discussion about what you guys are doing, right? Something's been said.
Or there's some unspoken rules. Does he date? Do you date? I mean, how are you?
No,
Hold on. We'll get to this right after this.
Hi everybody, Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are. but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back.
Now we're talking to Elizabeth. 8 years separated, Elizabeth, or was it nine?
Elizabeth?
I've lost count.
Sorry, are we throwing too much at you here?
It's okay.
All right, but here's the thing. First of all, you seem to think that this relationship, the way it's working, is working. I mean, you're living with it. But your big question was, should you tell him about your affair that you had 4 years ago?
Right, and the reason is because I've been seeing a counselor to try to figure this all out.
Oh, good. Okay. Now that's different. We thought that you were just kind of on this, you know, 8 years you guys are separated. Nobody's really talking about this. It's kind of okay. That was troubling us.
Okay, and the other thing is, well, I was just trying to ask a question because I know you all like the question first.
We do.
See why people don't tell us the question? Look what we do with it.
The other thing that is very difficult for me to say is that the affair I had was with a previous counselor.
Oh.
And what happened was I went to counseling and I was, you know, confused and depressed and very unhappy in this marriage for a very, very long time. So it wasn't that I was looking for anything at all. I was just trying to get out of a very trapped feeling situation. Then I quit the therapy. I was done with it and then met this person later on, and then it turned into something more. But the thing is that, I mean, it was serious for 3 years, and then he basically, I think, got scared and dropped me.
Was he married at the time?
Divorced.
He was divorced or separated like you?
Divorcing, but neither of us.
He was separated and divorcing.
Correct.
And you were separated and not divorcing.
Well, thinking that I was. And mm-hmm. I think he...
Okay.
I think it was it was wrong for him to do. I didn't understand the complications when you're a counselor and all that. I think it was actually true love. And then he got scared of the whole thing and, without me really knowing it, just sort of dropped me. And then I continued thinking that this thing was going forward it got very complicated. And then that's why I ended up at this one counselor, and I was actually trying to help him. And she said, you know, you're not helping him. He's dropped you, and, you know, that's it. So I now realize several years later, basically, I became his victim, and I,
true.
You know.
Right. Okay, but this isn't about an affair 4 years ago. This is about a 3-year relationship.
Right. I just say affair because I'm technically married, and even though I haven't actually lived with my husband, and this counselor suggested that.
All right. Should you tell your husband? Well, if it was me, I would want to tell and confess, and I would want to be open about that with the person I was still married to.
Right. Well, I think we make very good friends, but I don't really feel that we are marriage material.
Well, how about just having a nice conversation with your husband and saying, we have to do something here.
And that's actually why I was going to take him to this counselor, because he thinks he has no input in the last X years, and he actually does. I mean, part of the reason I felt, you know, alone and isolated, all that was part his problem, too, his you know, being married to his work, et cetera.
Well, even
he
if there's
no fault in it.
listen for one second, though. Even if there were not this affair, what you've described is not, it's just not good. 8 years of limbo stuckness where you guys are not moving forward. So whatever you do with the question of when to tell him or how to tell him, et cetera, the main thing is that you guys have got to get in a process with that's got some forward movement to it for your life. You know, God wants to take both of you down a path. And right now you're kind of like, it's sort of like if you've ever seen a car, you know, kind of off the road, up on a jack. Without its wheels, and it's been there for 8 years. You know, somebody needs to come with a tow truck and hook up to that thing and move it down the road further. So that's what you got to. You got to get some movement. And your counselor can help you in figuring out how to get your husband in to figure out what are y'all going to be doing next.
I think that's
whether
the first
or not
thing.
You talk about this or when you talk about it. That's the first thing, is to get in a process together.
Yeah. What are the two of you going to do? You know, and if there is hope to continue the marriage,
then you
deal with telling him about the affair.
Well, and even if they don't move forward, then you can tell him about the affair also. Just kind of a different way or purpose of telling. Okay.
What does your counselor say about telling or not telling?
Okay, here we go. What does the counselor say about telling or not telling?
The latest idea was to tell him only in that it would make him realize more, be more sympathetic towards me and understand why I actually left, because he doesn't get it. But only after explaining to him his part in the whole, you know, breakdown of the marriage initially.
I would think that it'd be very good to get him into counseling and find out when and how to talk about this in a safe structure and all that. Generally speaking, when you tell somebody about an affair, it doesn't evoke sympathy from them.
Right.
No, and also, especially when
you want to have a good professional structure to help the two of you through something like that.
But when you say, look, here's how you really messed our marriage up, and by the way, I had an affair as a result of that, I don't think that goes very far in the area of confession. So that sounds more like blame to a person who's hearing the confession.
Right, but talk it over with your counselor and figure out the best structure for you guys to do this. Obviously, your counselor knows you the best. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't. But my biggest thing is telling or not telling or when to tell. Well, the biggest thing is for the two of you to be in some safe, protected, professional context where people can help you.
Yeah. All right, we're just about out of time. I'm going to send you necessary endings, because it talks about when endings are necessary and when they're not. And I hope that that will be of help to you. We have over 900 Christian counselors around the country that can help you. If you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We do marriage weekends and transformation weekends, and we've got Lose It for Life weekends and Every Man's Battle weekends. These weekends, these intensives, this is the most amazing ministry that we've ever done here. And if you don't understand it, you come, and if you're like 99% of the folks, I just read the evaluations from our last one, and I did not read one person, not one evaluation that said, I wish I hadn't come, or this isn't the right thing. It was 100%. And so please call us and ask us about those weekends or one of those counselors. Now, we need your help, desperately need your help, and so here's what we're doing to get it. Is if you send a gift of $50 or more, we will send you a Life Recovery Bible or an Every Man's Bible. Those are our gifts to you. If you join Club New Life, we'll send you a leather-bound Life Recovery Bible. And just so grateful that you would become part of the giving family. We want you to have these gifts. I think they're valued about $29.95. And so it's a great way to give to us and support the ministry and receive something that is a great tool in building your faith. You can do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. If you want to join us on future programs, 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number to call. My thanks to Dr. Jill and Dr. Henry and to you. See you next
time.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.